Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. If you are in the market for a new home or plan on selling your property, you are in luck. We have two real estate professionals in the studio here to answer your questions. Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District is joined today by Caitlin Montalvo of Monticello, a residential real estate firm in New York's Capital Region. If you have a question about selling or buying a home, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Renata, Caitlin, your real estate calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If you're buying or selling a home or residential property, this is the show for you. We have two real estate pros here to answer your questions. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. Caitlin Montalvo is an associate real estate broker with Monticello, a boutique residential real estate firm. She's a nearly lifelong resident of the area who represents buyers and sellers across the Capital Region. If you have a real estate question, get in early. Number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis, Caitlin Montalvo, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Well, Caitlin, you're new here.
I am.
This is exciting.
Thank you for having me.
Are you ready?
I think so.
So you listened to several of the shows?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know how we do this?
I sure do.
We kind
of there's a topic not to be mentioned today.
All right. We'll try not to bring
we
up.
Won't.
Yes. And, you know, these shows sort of take on a life of their own.
That's
and
right.
If somebody brings up something, we'll get a lot
we'll
of calls
We'll talk about
on
it.
That.
We'll totally yeah. answer the question for sure.
So I was out taking the air prior to the program, and Renata was walking in, and I said, how are things going? And she said, oh, it's kind of a topsy-turvy market now. What's going on?
It's kooky.
What? Kooky? Why is it kooky?
Well, I mean, it's a really great market. The inventory is very low. The buyer demand is high.
Interest rates are low.
All this is good.
It's all good.
But not necessarily kooky.
Well, for the buyers, the transactions get a little bit challenging once we do get into contract. I feel the buyers sometimes feel that they pay top dollar or overpriced. And then the inspections become a little bit more of a challenge. The appraisal can become a little bit of a challenge. So really a good professional to hold everything together is really important because these transactions may not be closing.
Does it, Caitlin, does it get on your nerves after a while?
Of course not.
Really?
I love
You're
real estate.
That
love
laid
everything
back.
About it. It takes a lot to ruffle my feathers, I
really?
Have to say. It
right,
sure
well,
does.
Well,
yeah.
We got 50 minutes. We'll
yeah.
see what we
right?
can do.
Right? Let's see.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. And let's go to Adam in Saratoga Springs. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Ray and Caitlin and Renata. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I've got a question with regards to what I call the ongoing to-do list. I recently decided to not move out of the area, but in considering the sale of my home, I recognize that there are a number of project areas that could use improvement outside of the house, curb appeal, updating a bathroom, a little bit of work on the kitchen. I wondered if I could get your opinion as to which is the most important to work on first, how to prioritize these things so that if the time comes that I do have to move out of the area, the house would be readier for sale than it is now.
This is the eternal question on this program, and let's go to our newcomer first, Caitlin Montalvo.
All right. So I think this could vary from every single house out on the market or the a seller thinking about putting their house on the market, which project needs the most attention? I think that's probably where you want to start. Curb appeal, there's no way to make a second first impression. So, you know, you want to make sure the outside looks nice. But I would have to say, and Renata may agree, kitchens and bathrooms do tend to sell houses. So if those areas are updated or at least, you know, really cleanly and sparkling, shining, even if they're a little bit dated. those are the rooms that tend to sell houses for most buyers, I think.
Renata.
Agreed. Definitely the bathrooms and the kitchens, I think, is the main priority for the buyers when they're looking, and they're always very well received. I also add, you know, the big ticket items, your roof, your HVAC system, you know, those are equally important because they do cost a lot of money to replace. And if that deferred maintenance doesn't happen, that could be a factor in determining how we price the home.
What do you think, Adam?
Okay. I think, my to-do list just continues to grow, that advice with regards to the never second chance about the first impression makes a lot of sense. And then while everything is functional and working, the update to the bathrooms is probably going to be what's next. Okay. So I appreciate the guidance.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Yep. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Caitlin Montalvo and Renata Lewis here to answer your real estate questions. Bob in Cherry Valley. Bob is on.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I have an old survey of my property, and somewhere along the line, 3 acres is no longer with it. How do I go about finding what happened to that 3 acres?
Wow. Is that common?
It could be. So I think I would start with the town. Make a trip to the town hall just to see what they have on record. And additionally, if you can get a hold of your deed, just to see what the deed has on there. Going back to when you purchase the property, you should have a folder that should include all of the information in there. Aside of that, I would say hire an attorney
right,
or even surveyor to go back in there and just see where that property line exactly is, so you can justify where, you know, your lines and make sure that you get that 3 acre back.
Bob, how did you figure out that you were down 3 acres?
Well, on the old surveys and tax things, it was 103 acres on the property, and now my new tax bill is 100 acres.
Oh, could be simple as a typo.
Yeah.
You never know. But
that's true.
Reach out to.
So either I'm not paying for 3 acres and I own it, or
right, exactly, exactly. I think the other good place to start, if you're the real estate attorney you used when you purchased the property is still in business, reach out to them because they should have records on file of, you know, what your deed looked like.
And you could always have it resurveyed, right?
Correct, correct. Your deed and your title are the big ones because it will, you know, specifically say exactly what the lines look like. But the survey is just a more of a visual view of where that survey is or where the lines are.
Right, but surveys be quite expensive on up in the woods. And
it could be. It depends if you already have the pins in place. Look at your survey to see if it shows where the pins are.
No, it's from 1937,
yeah,
and it's the big old tree with the piece of wire sticking.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's that, you know, 500 feet from that oak tree that no longer exists.
Right.
So I understand. Yeah. I understand the pain. Sorry.
Right.
Wish we had better news.
Well, Bob, good luck.
Well, at least you got me started.
All right,
fantastic.
Man.
Good
appreciate
luck.
Appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today with Renata Lewis and Caitlin Montalvo. And let's go to Tracy in Warwick. Hello, Tracy. Oh, my heavens. Oh, it's one of those. Tracy, you got to turn the radio down, okay? Oh, Tracy, turn the radio down, kiddo. Oh, boy. Hello?
Tracy.
Oh, goodbye. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. I guess I should do the ground rules. So try to turn your radio down. Listen on the phone when you're on hold. And, try to avoid speakerphones. Otherwise, my engineer, the veins pop out of his head. It's not a pretty sight. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. To recapitulate the rules, try to listen on the radio, on the phone when you're calling into the station. Turn your radio down, and then we won't have that delay. Because what happens is we have about eight, nine seconds between the satellite up or the transmitter uplink and the delay that we use here. If you're listening on your radio, you're
You're not ready.
I will have lost patience by the time you're ready to talk. The number here is 800-348-2551. And as you know, I'm a very patient person. Renata Lewis is here and Caitlin Montalvo, and they are here to answer your real estate questions. Again, our number is 800-348-2551. So it's going pretty well so far for you, Caitlin?
I hope so. I think so.
You enjoying yourself?
I am.
By the way,
not shaking anymore.
What is a boutique real estate firm?
So we're not part of a national franchise company like Keller Williams or, you know, some of those other.
So it's not like there's a nice carpet and you walk in and there's a couch.
There is actually.
Oh, is there?
There are several nice carpets when you walk in. But yes, we're independently owned and operated.
All right, 10-4. Let's go back to the phones and we go to Ariella in Albany. You're on.
I have a question. You talk about updating the kitchen and the bathroom. My kitchen is about 40 to 45 years old. It looks very good from outside. It's made out of some kind of wood. The inside is old, but it's clean and it's good shape. So how much do I need to do? The same thing is the bathroom. Bathroom we updated here and there, but how much do we need to update it to sell the house?
Well, I think, like you said, if it's gleaming, it's shining, it's in really good condition, you'll have better luck. You know, it may just take a fresh coat of paint. If you have nice wood cabinets, you know, I can tell you my house, our kitchen is probably about the same age, maybe a little older, but they're solid wood cabinets. They've been painted white. They look beautiful, and they're probably better quality than...
No, they're not. Mine are not painted.
Not painted.
Yeah,
well, that's
really
okay.
That
is something that you could potentially do, though, to update the kitchen. That's less expensive than putting in new cabinetry. Like I said, if it is real wood, those cabinets are going to hold up better than a lot of what's on the market today. You don't want to go in and put in a super cheap cabinet if you have a nice quality cabinet already on the walls. Just update it with maybe new hardware or a fresh coat of paint.
Agreed. I was going to say
okay, what about the bathroom?
Same thing with the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes just changing the mirror around, you know, adding
light
a new
fixture.
Hardware, a new light fixture. It's just something that maybe just improves the, towards the standards of today. You know, some of the light fixtures.
What about the bathtub?
Well,
the bathtub. We have it's a clean, but it's old.
Cast iron.
But it's completely clean.
Aha. Uh-huh. We've established that it's
pretty
clean.
We like that it's clean.
Okay, good. Clean, good.
Yes. I would say if it's in good condition, you leave it. Mm-hmm. You know, how's the flooring look? And, you know, when you enter it, you could update it with little things and still make it appealing to the buyers.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for the call. You know, this is really the equation and the balancing act. It's how much do you sink in before it is a zero-sum game when you're selling the house? You're not going to get it all back. So I guess that's why you have someone to go in who knows what they're doing.
Correct. And it really depends on the style of the home, too.
Right.
So if you have an older home and it's a Victorian, you're not going to put in necessarily, you know, a contemporary flair into it. So I think you have to be careful. You have to pay attention. You know, what does the rest of the house look like? And you want it all to flow nicely. Just updating one room, it will sort of stick out and will not fit in.
Well, but if it's a nice bathroom,
well,
you
course.
Can stay. You know,
yeah.
Do what I do. Stay
yeah.
in the bathroom most
as
of the time.
As long as it's a bathroom in the kitchen, it passes.
All right, fair enough. But you know, Renata, you always talk about this, and that is when you're presenting a home.
Yes.
You got to get rid of so much clutter.
You do. The decluttering
alone is... This annoys
me
to no end, by the way.
I know. We talk about this a lot. And
yeah.
It's important. You're moving. Put things away in a box. Put them in a room. Put them in a basement, in the garage. You're decluttering. You're depersonalizing. And you're just making the rooms open up. So new buyers can, you know, feel their own belongings in there and place themselves into that room.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis is here and Caitlin Montalvo, and they're here to answer your questions about real estate. We'll go to Dan in, where are you calling from, Dan?
Well, I'm driving through the capital region now, but I'm from Old Town, Maine.
Where is Old Town, Maine? Maine, obviously.
About 2.5 hours north of Portland.
Wow. All right, man. So you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on. My question is, we live in Old Town now. We're moving to Binghamton pretty soon, and we haven't had good luck with Craigslist recently. So we're thinking about using a real estate company for a rental property for, you know, try to get a place to rent for a few months to a year. My question is whether or not the renter is typically required to pay the realtor fee, or is that something that the person trying to rent the property will cover?
Good question.
Well, it really depends on your agreement with the agent that you do decide to hire. Some agents will require their client to pay them if the, you know, if the landlord or if the seller of the home that you end up in isn't willing to pay a commission. So it really depends on your agreement.
I think it depends on the location as well. Particularly when I sold in Long Island, you cannot get a rental without hiring an agent.
Ah.
Whereas locally, you know, a lot of rentals are not listed. So I would inquire with the local real estate agent in Binghamton. Do you guys rent, you know, do you list a lot of rentals? You know, what's the best resource for me? And where do I get that help?
Okay.
Dan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to another Dan. This Dan is in upstate New York. Dan, you're on.
Hi. My name is Dan. I'm from Utica, New York. I was in real estate for a while, but what I want to do now is I've just remodeled my whole house. It's, you know, I put a lot of money into it. It's a big property. It's 3,000 square feet. There's three fireplaces.
Nice.
In-ground pool, patio, basketball court.
Wow.
You know, three family rooms. The house is perfect, okay? So what I want to do is there's a lot of websites out there for sale by owners, one of them. They've got all the legal forms. I have an attorney. I want to try to sell it myself to get started. It's a little bit daunting. But my biggest concern is I don't want to put this thing up for sale and then have anybody just wandering in.
It's
got to be by appointment. But my question is, how do I know these people are qualified? If they call me and say, we want to come in and look, how do I qualify these people and know that they got good credit? Can I do that, or should I do it through my attorney?
Great question. Renata, you go first.
So it's a good question. Really, the only thing you can do is selling by yourself is ask the question, have you talked to a local lender? Do you have a pre-qualification letter?
What a real estate agent would do anyway.
What does that look like? Is it a conventional?
Is it
FHA? So that's a question that you can certainly ask, and it should be part of your conversation with whoever you're letting into your house.
Can you get a form if you're a buyer and say, okay, I am approved, I'm ready to go, here's my affidavit?
It's a pre-qualification letter or a pre-approval letter. You know, is it something that they got off the internet? Or is it something that they've actually talked to a local bank? So it's an important question. Definitely ask it. And if they say no, then you qualify them further. Do you plan on, you know, getting pre-approved?
Right.
And what's your situation look like? Are you selling? Are you renting? You know, where do you work?
Right.
You know, those are all the questions you can certainly ask to help you get to understand who they are before you let them through the front door.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I used to do that in real estate a few years ago, but I didn't want to put people off knowing that I was going to ask these questions. I think it's okay. They shouldn't be put off by that, correct?
No, it's a very common question right now, and it's very important.
Yeah.
You know, are you qualified to buy my home? Otherwise, why am I going to, you know, be touring you through a home that you can't afford?
Well, the house sounds really good, Dan, so I think you'll probably be okay. Thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Real Estate Today. Caitlin Montalvo of Monticello is here. Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District is here. And now we go to Tom in Woodstock. Hello, Tom in Woodstock.
Hi. Here's my question. My wife owns the house that we live in. We were married later in life, I guess you would say. So she has clear title to the house. There's no mortgage. What I would like to do, and she agrees, is buy into the house. So give her a bit of money, about half the value of the house, and be placed on the deed. My question is, does this require an attorney, or could a real estate agent help us with this?
Anything with the deed is going to require an attorney.
Okay, that's the answer to my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good
luck. Thanks, Tom. Our number is 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today on Vox Pop. Maureen in beautiful Old Forge. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, how are you?
Good to have you here.
Has the snow melted in Old Forge?
Yeah, finally.
Yes,
finally.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. It's been a doozy.
I used to snowmobile out there, so I know you guys get a ton of snow.
Yeah, we sure do. Oh.
So what's up?
Here's my question. I'm contemplating selling my house. I actually was going to put it in a realtor's hand, but then neighbors of mine came up with a friend of theirs that's very interested in buying it, okay? But I have no idea what the appraised value is. So I guess my question is, and if it wouldn't work out for this person that wants to buy it, I will go through a realtor. I don't want the headaches of trying to do it myself. But I have an interested buyer, and I'm thinking, how do I get my house appraised? Do I go to an independent appraiser that's not associated with a realtor, or do I go with a realtor and, you know, have them do it with, you know, but then maybe sell it on my own? I don't want to, you know, do something to them that I shouldn't, you know what I mean? Or I'd even be willing to pay for it, I guess, you know? So that's my question.
All right,
how
who
do
goes
I go
first?
About this? If I...
Go ahead, Caitlin.
So you can always hire an independent appraiser, and that may be the way you go. Unless you already have a realtor in mind or you're planning on interviewing realtors, they're going to price out your house for you regardless. So if that's your backup plan, you know, I don't think there's a problem with you interviewing realtors and seeing what they think the value of your home is as well.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know if, you know, if say I did that and then I elect not to go with them. I didn't know if that was illegal or
right.
bad practice
yeah.
or anything like that.
Yeah, as long as you're honest with them,
exactly.
I think they'll understand. And that question comes up a lot. Hey, I'm thinking about selling, but my neighbor has somebody or, you know, a daughter of theirs wants to come over and take a look at the property. So as long as that's fully disclosed and it happens before you list, I think it's a very fair conversation to have. And at the same time, at least you'll have a really good idea of what the home would be valued at if it was listed.
Okay. All right. Because what I was thinking is if I did have an independent and then I know what the price is, but then I have to, for whatever reason, go with a realtor, can I like give them that information and
Absolutely.
Deduct the $300 that it's going to cost from their bill, or?
Well, no, the realtor is going to charge you a percentage, and so there's no $300 deduction, but you can certainly share the appraisal with them. And, you know, it is important to know that appraised value isn't always the same as sales price. So sometimes a house appraises for more than what it sells for. Sometimes it appraises for less than what it sells for. So they're not always the same number, but it's a great place
and
to start.
And this is not the same as the assessment, the
Correct.
Tax assessment, right?
The tax assessment's very different.
Oh, okay, well, that's good to know, too. I appreciate that.
Sure thing.
So.
Well, Maureen,
All
good
right.
luck.
Well, it sounds like a... Yes, thank you. Sounds
well,
like I
luck.
Can just approach some realtors and go that route. So well, thank you very much. This is a really informative program. Thank
well,
you.
You got lucky. Every now and then we do. Yeah, thank you very yes. much, Maureen.
We
appreciate
are glad
it.
You enjoy it.
You know, but putting myself in Renata's shoes for a minute, if somebody says, well, listen, I'm not sure I want a realtor, but can you come in anyway? I'm going to be a little irritated if they end up not going with a realtor.
Well, you can't get irritated. It's if anything, it helps us to get to know the market a little bit more. So this is what we do. This is our job. This is what we love to do. And we really should know, you know, everybody's value pretty much, especially yeah. if we're concentrating in one area. So and this conversation comes up more than we would like it sometimes. But yet, you know, this
but you're
is
pretty
what
busy.
We do.
I mean, you know, do you have
we
time
are.
For the charity cases?
We are. Well, listen, if it's a stranger that calls me, you know, I may think twice about it. Who are you? And, you know, how did you get my name? But, you know, Ray, if you said, hey, I have a friend that wants to know the value of their house.
Yeah.
Of course I would do it.
All right, fair enough. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today and Clarice in Albany. You're on.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm young, mid to late 20s now. Have a good job, settled in Center Square. Been renting for a while now. I'm just trying to make the decision. If I'm growing roots here, should I buy? Because it's sounding like a waste, or feeling like a waste of money at this point. And they're doing a lot of redevelopment in downtown Albany, but I don't see the push for people capital coming here into the city to fill up all the vacant spots. So I'm wondering if it's a good investment, what local county grant programs are, you know, afforded or allotted to young first-time home buyers, and would it be a really good decision? How much money, what should I put down, and how much do I need to save?
This is all good. Like this is all very good. And first-time buyers, in fact, do get some benefits, right?
They often do. So the first place to start is probably looking at local lenders. If you bank with a local lender, oftentimes that's the best place to start. So talk to a mortgage originator there, see what types of first-time home buyer programs they offer. There's special programs that have like zero down payment, and you have to fit some certain credit and income criteria. So you can explore those options. The Affordable Housing Partnership is also a great place to start. They have some grants. City of Albany has some grants out there for first-time home buyers. So there's a wealth of resources for you to check into.
And then what would you say about the market just in general within the city? And, you know, the direction in development of the city is, do you think that it sounds promising as a place that maybe people should think about settling more?
Well, I do live in the city of Albany, so I would absolutely say yes. I love seeing what the city of Albany is doing and how things are growing and transforming. So, you know, as a resident, I say absolutely buy in Albany. You know, I love living here.
And I think that when you're paying the rental, it's something that you're paying off the equity for the landlord.
Yeah.
So if you're able to investigate the option of purchasing, you can't really get hurt. You know, make sure you're working with a professional, you know, so you know that the value that you're paying for the property makes sense, and be your own landlord. Say, you know, I always say, if purchasing a home is building wealth. Do the right thing, investigate, and as Ray laughs.
Building
and
wealth.
And I think it's an amazing opportunity. Yes, you are.
That's a good one. Hey, good luck, Clarice. I hope you have as better luck than I do.
Hey, it's a real estate show, Ray.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it's building wealth, right, and anxiety. Let's go to line one, Luke in Slingerlands. Luke, you're on.
I love it.
How you doing?
Good.
I didn't want to be redundant, but it sounds like somebody had a similar call to me as soon as I called in. But it's about the appraisal value. I'm in the process of just starting to list two family down in Albany and then a one family in Slingerlands. And I feel like the two family in Albany, the location is a real good plus for it. How much over should you list or on the appraisal if you're thinking about being reasonable with something based off of location?
So where did you get the appraisal?
It's just a local person that I knew. He's an actual appraiser. But I just got it done today. I didn't get all the paperwork.
Okay.
But just from the preliminary stuff, it's coming in at like $20,000 less than what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
What some of the other comparables in the area are actually selling for.
Can you shop around for an appraiser team?
I mean, you can, but well, I mean, once the appraiser, that's what they do. So there's a reason they appraise it as such. So once you get the report, definitely review it, see what comparables they used, see how they compare to your home, and maybe question them, you know, let them know, I thought this was going to come in a little bit higher. Why are we lower?
Yeah.
You know, the appraisal is very important because in essence, unless somebody comes in with cash, we're technically selling these houses to the bank. So if the appraisal doesn't come in where we need them to be, the deal is going
to
fall through.
Now, right. To be clear, you can't slip the appraiser a 20 and say, hey, listen, couple grand more on this.
Yeah, they won't take your $20 bill.
You know, not that easy.
I kind of kidded around about shopping for an appraiser. But, you know, if you go to a baseball game, an umpire will have, some umpires have tight strike zones. Some have wide strike zones. Are all appraisers created equal?
No, they're not. So, however, this is why they have to come in with 3 to 5 appraisals, depending on what bank they're working with. So, I mean, comparables.
Comparables.
And so based on those comparables, when you look at them, you know, I'll review them. It's very hard to fight an appraisal as well.
Yeah.
Once one comes in, you're pretty much stuck with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the best resource for you would be to go back to that appraiser and say, hey, this is considerably lower than I consider. $20,000, I feel, is a lot.
Yeah.
So where are we different?
The problem is with some of the comparables in the area, they're all 3 bedrooms on each floor, where mine is a 2-bedroom on the top floor and a large 1-bedroom on the first floor.
Okay.
But it's in like a perfect location. And the houses that he has as comparables are in like, you know, it's a few blocks away. But in Albany, you know how that can change kind of quick.
Sure.
You know, there's the desirable area.
Right.
Sure. So that was one of my concerns. I have a quick question for you. Do you anticipate an investor is going to buy this property, or somebody who's going to owner occupy will buy this property?
Well, I put a for sale by owner sign up front. I've already had a few calls, and two of them are people that want to owner occupy. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like two of them are investors, because the house directly next door to me is also for sale with a real estate agent. So I figured I'd just capitalize and put a for sale by owner sign on my property so I could get some of that traffic.
And the
that
reason
he's drawing
I ask is the investors are going to care a lot about what rents those apartments
right
garner.
What their margins look like. So
exactly.
What you're, yeah, from what you're saying, it may make more sense for an owner occupy on this property. So you know, which way did the appraiser swing this? And it ultimately the buyers, you know, they're going to realize what that market value is and what you're going to get for that house.
Okay. Luke, we have to take a break here. The number is 800-348-2551. I mean, does it help to get the appraiser a little drunk? Couple of drinks? No?
I don't think so.
No?
Probably hurts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, if they're angry drunks, I get you. 800-348-2551. You see, it's all about building wealth. It's real estate here on the program with Renata Lewis and Caitlin Montalvo. We'll be back. .41 on a Wednesday afternoon, and as we speak, my wealth is going up here. It's real estate on the program today. It's all about building wealth. Renata Lewis is here, Caitlin Montalvo, and if you have a real estate question, this is the time to call. We still have a few open lines. We'll get to as many calls as we can. 800-348-2551 is the number. Leona on the thruway. Hello, Leona. Ah, splendid. We're off to a flying start. Okay. Hello, Leona.
Hello.
Hello?
That's me.
How you're on?
Yeah, sorry, I had to turn the radio down.
Splendid.
I have a piece of property that's hard to price. I want to put it on the market, but it's worth about $100,000. I've overbuilt the neighborhood. It's worth $100,000 more than the comparable. I don't know what to do about it.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. So why is it worth $100,000 more?
Pardon me?
Why is it worth $100,000 more? Did you overimprove it? Did you add an addition?
Well, it's about 1,600 square feet more than most of the houses in the neighborhood.
That's a lot.
So you're the biggest and the best.
That's it.
That's it. Listen, I always say all you need is one buyer. So there's definitely a buyer out there. It's going to be a longer days on the market sale. I think that you really need to disclose everything that you did, all the improvements, you know, reasons why you're pricing where it is, and be patient. If the house is fabulous and updated and, you know, there's always a bigger family that's going to be looking for exactly that.
Well, the problem is the realtor doesn't know how to market it.
Mm-hmm.
At what price?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
so
they
I
take
mean,
their price off the comparable.
Talk to more than one realtor. Talk to more than one broker. You know, definitely have them, you know, spin some ideas, and work with somebody that you feel most confident will be able to get the job done.
Okay, thank you. I'll hang in.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Now, you know, you mentioned it may take longer to sell. How long is too long? When does that become a scarlet letter? That, oh, this has been on the market for 72 days.
It depends on what kind of market we're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's a good market right now, right?
Well, right now it's a good market. So, I mean, again, there's pocket areas where, you know, some days are flying off the market in 3 days. And then there's areas where they're, you know, 50 to 60 days. And then you have some rural areas where you're on 100 days plus. Mm-hmm. So what's the days on the market in her neighborhood? And, you know, based on that, because it's a unique property, you always have to tack on, you know, a few extra months. And again, I would have to go back into 2-3 years of history in different sales of unique properties to see what that number looks like.
Number here is 800-348-2551 on Vox Pop. Renata Lewis and Caitlin Montalvo are here to answer your real estate questions. And Dustin in Pittsfield is on.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So I just wanted a quick question. Thinking about selling my house, and I've got another year or so before I got to really start thinking about replacing my roof. Mm-hmm. If I replace my roof now, can I just pass on like the $15,000 to $20,000 onto the sale price, or is that something I could even charge more for? Because that's kind of a nice commodity to have a brand new roof to move into.
I gotta say, Dustin, they're both smirking now. So you better sit down for this.
I hate that question.
I do too. It really depends. Is your roof leaking?
No.
It's really
it just
hard.
Looks from the outside, and it's been a good 20 years. So.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Sometimes it's really hard to tell when a roof is going to fail. if it's in good shape and it looks good, it could have more life left into it. But if you know shingles are starting to peel back, you know it may be a major obstacle for you when you do sell. The other option you could potentially do is market it with the offer of a credit at closing. That way, you don't have to shell out any cash in advance of selling. Although a lot of roofers, if it's a bigger company, they'll offer you some like zero interest financing, that sort of thing. So if the shingles are flying off of it, I would say, yeah, you probably do have to replace it. But if it's in okay shape and it doesn't look terrible, then that seller potentially wouldn't have to.
You know, and as far
as... But if I do replace the roof and it looks brand new, is that something I can just charge for the cost of the roof? Or is that like a nice big ticket item?
Well, I think you and your realtor have to look at the house as a whole. And did that new roof really add $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of value to your home? Or did it really just need a new roof and it, you know,
did
maybe
it just
only...
bring it to standards?
Exactly, yeah.
So it goes into like deferred maintenance. And I was just having this conversation early this morning and how to handle that objection because, yes, you know, I had to just replace two furnaces. They're brand new. And if I put in a new roof, you know, can I add the extra $20,000 or $30,000 on top of the market value? And the answer is no.
Because you're just bringing it up to what the rest of the neighborhood is.
You need heat and you need a roof over your head.
Yeah.
So you deferred that maintenance because it didn't need it. And now since it needs it, it needs to be in the home and unfortunately happened during the time that you wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
So it's going to help sell quicker. It's going to be better received. There's going to be less hiccups throughout the transaction during the inspection if it's new. And can you get a little bit more money? Yes. Can you get all of it back? No.
Okay. Dustin, thanks for the call and good luck. We go over to Barb in Queensbury. Barb.
Yes. Hi. My question is, what's the difference between a buyer's broker, a seller's broker, and in terms of commission, and should you use the same person to both buy and sell a home?
Well, I would say yes. I would say you're going to find a realtor out there that you really trust, that you trust to help you sell your home and to help you buy a new one. They may work on a team or have, you know, an associate that they work with that you may end up going out looking at homes with a different agent. But you're going to want to interview, you know, a handful of realtors, find the person that you trust to do both ends of the job for
you.
Does
anybody, Renata, really interview number? In other words, when you're... First-time home buyer, are you going to say, well, all right, next, I want to talk to you? Do you really do that, or do you just find somebody you like and go with it?
Statistically, I think they say most sellers interview one agent.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of that. There are a few I've sat down with that interview 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
You know, I most, especially if it's a referral, it's usually that one person. But what I wanted to add to this conversation was, you know, make sure that you as a seller understand agency and what that looks like. So if you're using a buyer's agent and if you're selling your house and that listing agent is also bringing in the buyer, there's a conflict of interest. So just make sure that you understand what that looks like and that you agree to everything, because that one agent can't fully represent both sides.
But it's done all the time though, right? And there's a disclosure form?
I wouldn't say it's done all the time. It is done. It's called dual agency or dual agency with designated agents. Just understand the difference. So you never feel that you were never fully represented at any point.
So you don't recommend this, Renata?
It's not that I don't recommend it. I don't think enough conversations are had about it. And
the dual agency, you don't recommend the dual agency or without knowing exactly what
I'm
it is?
I'm putting words in their mouth.
Yeah, no, I never said I don't recommend it. It happens. I do it. It does happen. It's just you need to have that conversation, understand exactly what it means. Any conflict of interest should be spoken to both parties and make sure that both parties understand and agree to it.
Okay. All righty. And the commission works. Just how does the commission work if you're... Does it matter?
It really depends on how you and your agent need to talk about that. It's different brokers. Different brokers do very different things, and it really is not a standard.
There's no standard percentage commission.
Mm-hmm. No. There can't be in New York State.
Why can't there be?
It can't be regulated.
Why? New York regulates everything.
They
literally
try.
Literally everything.
They try.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing they don't regulate.
Yes.
Well, go figure. Who's next? Who's next? We go now to line 9, to Ashley and Troy.
Hi. I'm on a cottage with my two brothers, and one of my brothers passed away recently and left his share to my other brother. So now my surviving brother has two shares, and I have one, and he wants to sell our family cottage, and I do not want to.
Oh, boy.
He's trying to make me pay, like, an absorbent amount of money for his shares, but can he sell without me agreeing to it since I'm on the deed?
No, he can't. You have to agree to sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there. Okay. Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, all right. Good luck.
Oh, boy, the backstory there. Oh, boy. All right. We go now to Melanie in Albany. Melanie.
Hi. I used to be an appraiser and went on to work for a real estate agent. Now I work for a contractor. One of the things that can help this guy that was earlier that had the 1- and 2-bedroom property in Albany, that didn't appraise at the price he hoped, is that if he discussed with the appraiser what things would bring up his asking price.
Correct.
If he had a number of properties that he could have a resource of funds, he may want to take that building off the market and change, maybe update a bathroom, change the 1 into a 2-bedroom, and so on. Appraisers know what sells in that area, what price to ask for based on comps. And the owner may want to just put in a few bucks to make it a higher priced commodity.
That makes sense. I do agree with you 100%. I tend to meet the appraisers for my clients, and if there is a list of improvements or anything else that was done, I want to make sure that those appraisers are aware of that in the event they need a little bit of an adjustment to help that price come in where we need it to be.
Yeah, you got to use all the resources you have.
Absolutely.
Possible.
Absolutely, especially in this market.
Melanie, thanks for the call. And now it's time for Carolyn in Poughkeepsie. Carolyn, you're on.
Hang on, I'll call you right back.
All right, splendid. You're on.
Hi. No, not you.
Oh,
the
okay.
Other line.
All right, well, have at it then.
Sorry, I'm on 2 phones at the same time.
That's
we
fine.
Trumped that call.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Yeah, quick call. I'm trying to find out. I've known from family situations when a family has held a mortgage for someone or not held a mortgage, I'm sorry, but sold it directly without a realtor. And I know you covered a little bit of that in the beginning, and I missed it. I'm looking at a way to save costs and wondering if the direct sales are a good thing to do. And this would be for a first-time buyer.
So I'm not sure I'm understanding. You want to sell your own house?
No, buy.
Oh, you want to buy your own house. Okay, so and you don't want to use a realtor?
I would prefer to avoid the expense if I can. I'm not sure that there's an advantage to it. I have there's an engineer in the family, and I've managed housing, and I have some familiarity with physical things and to some degree what to look for, and I can always bring somebody with me. But other than that, what is the advantage to having a realtor as opposed to a direct purchase through the seller?
Well, so in many cases, when a house is listed, there is a buyer's agency fee that's offered to the collaborating broker. So that means there's no cost to you to use an agent.
Really?
Yes. So you definitely want to talk.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So you want to. So as far as the buyer agency is concerned, definitely speak to a realtor. Have them explain to you how it works in your neck of the woods. Just to make sure that is the case, and 99% of the time it is. The only time that could change is if you're looking at a for sale by owner, the agent would have to negotiate the fee somehow into the proceeds of the sale. But outside
that's what I was talking for, for sale by owner.
Okay.
You're saying,
so that's, yes.
Who has to negotiate a fee?
So the agent will negotiate the fee into the contract.
So the buyer's agent for Carolyn would negotiate the fee with the owner who is selling.
Correct, correct. So it's, again, speak to somebody that has done it, how they do it, and make sure you're comfortable with it. 99% of the time, the for sale by owner will even pay the buyer agency fee because they really need the help and they don't know what they're doing. Okay. And it's good to have at least one representative helping the whole situation.
To guide things along.
For sure.
All right, over to Henry in Kingston. Oh, Henry, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just kind of a scenario here. If I have my house assessed for, say, $300,000, and I personally would be happy with $300,000, would I list it for sale for $300,000? Would I list it for, say, $320,000? Would I list it for $290,000? Did I get multiple bids? Is there a kind of a game plan in an instance like that?
Well, I think what you do is you list it for what it's really worth. So is it your tax assessment is $300,000?
No, if I had like an appraiser come in and give me an assessment on the value of the house.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, I think you list it for what it's worth. And if it's worth more and you get a lot of interest from buyers, it may sell for more than what you list it for. But if you're listing it higher than what it's really worth, it may end up backfiring on you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And quickly over to Jason in North Adams, Massachusetts. Jason.
Hi. How you doing? Okay. My question is, if I was looking to add value to my home, what are the pros and cons of going with an attached garage, a detached garage, or a carport?
Have you gotten quotes on those items?
I have not. This is just an initial question here.
I think you may find that the cost of constructing might outweigh the benefit of when you sell it. So I would definitely get quotes and, you know, see what the cost of constructing it will be, because it may not add as much value back to your property. So I, like any buyer or seller that I'm working with, if this improvement is going to make your life better and you're going to love it and you're going to enjoy it, go for it. But if you're doing it purely for resale, you have to check to make sure if it's going to make sense for you.
And also compare it to, do your neighbors have garages and you're the only one that does not? So are you improving the property?
That is the case.
All right. So if that's the case, I would say that it would add more value, because now you're going to be bringing your home to a standard of what the rest of the neighborhood looks like. So again, pricing it, you know, I would say the carport is probably not big value. I would probably say, unless you need it and that's all you could afford, I would say, you know, the attached or the detached garage would probably be the biggest return on your investment.
Thank you very much for the call. Quickly, now we only have about a minute here. Tony in Albany, you got a minute there, buddy. Hey, Tony. Hello. Oh, for Pete's sake, Tony. You know, I got to try to do the guy a favor here. Nancy in Schenectady, you have now 40 seconds.
Okay, great. Here it goes. I have two pieces of property. One is my home that has 24 and a half acres. An adjacent piece of property also has a small house on it, which I've been using for my business. And it's about 3.5 acres. The home has 300 feet of road frontage, and the smaller property has 150 feet of road frontage. They're on essentially the major artery in my neck of the woods. And what I'm wondering is, should I sell the properties as a bundle, or since they're deeded separately, sell them separately?
Okay.
I would talk to an agent to see what the best value is. But I think what I would do is I would list the property, and I would, in the remarks, show that other additional piece of property is also available.
Okay.
So you have a choice to purchase them together or separately.
Well, I guess we are done here. Thank you both for being here. Support comes from Flatbrook & Company, a design and build firm serving the WAMC listening area, working to help transform homes and cultivate living spaces. Kitchen and aging in place specialists, flatbrookandco.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, presenting author Kim John Payne, speaking on the soul of discipline, the simplicity parenting approach, at Skidmore College on May 30th at 7 p.m., waldorfsaratoga.org. At Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Boar's Head Deli with daily specials, bakery, homemade fudge, smoked chicken, and rib dinners to go, plus fresh seasonal produce, whitneysfarms.com. Once again, thanks to Renata Lewis and Caitlin Montalvo for joining us today. Thank you for listening. tremendous calls, not one about dead bodies buried on the lawn. This is the first time we've done a real estate show without mentions of corpses in some months. Thanks again for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Amber Sickles took the calls. Jim Lavoulis, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we talk economics. Stand by for something or other.